Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 4 of our study of Nehemiah. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Nehemiah 9, 22 through 28. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With that, let's jump back into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Nehemiah 9, starting in verse 22. You gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting to them even the remotest frontiers. They took over the country of Sihon, king of Heshbon, and the country of Og, king of Bashan. They made their children as numerous as the stars in the skies, and you brought them into the land that you told their parents to enter and possess. Their children went in and took possession of the land. You subdued them before the Canaanites who lived in the land. You gave the Canaanites into their hands along with the kings and the peoples of the land to deal with them as they pleased. Og and Sihon or Heshbon, these guys, this was the land on the east side of the Jordan, and then the Canaanites were all on the west side of the Jordan River. Israel occupied both sides of the Jordan River. That was the land that God had given to them. It's almost like the land on the east side was almost like an addition. The most important part that the Lord was focused on was on the west side of the Jordan River, but he did give them the land on the east side as well. And so there again, this is their creed in chapter 9, where they're reminding the people of all of the good things that the Lord has done for them. They're reminding them of who they are as the people of God. And so all of these things, these are all the narrative story. We're hitting the high points of what God has done for them, what they've done against God, and how God's had mercy on them. And we're continuing on as they come into the land and the Lord gives them favor as they enter the land. Continuing on, verse 25. They captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took possession of houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness. When they went into the land, when they're about to go into the land, Moses instructed them. Moses told them very, very sternly, make sure that you remember as you go into this land that the houses you're going to occupy, the Lord gave that to you. Someone else built that, and he gave it to you. The vineyards already planted, the fruit groves, they're already there, the crops, everything's already in place, and I'm giving this to you. Moses says, remember that it when you do this, when you come into the land and everything's just ready for you, and you build upon that, they're not having to start from scratch. He says, when you build on that, remember that I, God, am the one who gives you the power to get wealth. You're going to become wealthy in this land. Remember, it was me that did it for you, not you. Not you were so smart and so industrious that you did this. It was me. Remember that. So this is hearkening back to that command that Moses gave them to remember that when they went into these lands that God gave to them, they defeated people. They defeated these wicked people and took their land that God was giving to them. And they didn't have to build the houses. They didn't have to dig the wells. They didn't have to plant the vineyards, right? They say the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Well, here they're going into a place where all of the fruit trees and the vineyards were planted 20 years ago. They don't have to do any of that. It's just ready to go. They don't have to spend any of that fruitless time, those fruitless years, waiting for stuff to grow for them. All right, continuing on, verse 26. But they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who had warned them in order to turn back to you. They committed awful blasphemies. Every prophet in the Old Testament, it doesn't speak about many of their deaths in the Old Testament itself, but Jewish history, traditional history, we know that every prophet but Jeremiah was martyred. Every single one was killed. Most of them in really, really terrible ways. And I believe what we're talking about here when it says blasphemies, we're not just talking about people following other gods and saying, you know, this one true God, he's not the only one or he's not one. We're talking about all sorts of sin and debauchery, kind of lumping blasphemies into all of the things that should not be done, all of the things that they were doing. The Bible tells us that Manasseh, king of Judah, he filled the streets of Jerusalem and Judah with more blood than anybody else before him. Innocent blood, that is, it's murdering people and children, and that he and the people of Israel during his reign, they committed more detestable acts than all of the people that came before them that God drove out, all of the Canaanites that were so wicked that God said, get rid of them. By the end here, before the exile, God says, you're actually worse than they were. And so when we say blasphemies, understand every kind of sin and debauchery and terrible thing known to man. We're talking about, you think now, what are the worst possible things that people could do to other people, that people could do to children, that people could do to women? Think about the worst possible things. And what this is telling them and reminding them is your ancestors, they did that and more. They did that and more. God called them worse than the people, the Canaanites that they displaced. Verse 27. So you deliver them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them. And in your great compassion, you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. So here we're talking again about this period of the judges where God is raising up, you know, people one after the other. I probably got a little bit ahead of myself here. They're not specifically talking about Manasseh and all that just yet, but they're kind of lumping all of that in, right? But we're probably more specifically talking about the time period of the judges. And this is difficult. They are kind of lumping everything in because the times of the prophets, prophets that we have in scripture that are talking about that were martyred and killed, that was during the time of the kings and later on right before the exiles. But again, at the end of this here, we're actually specifically talking about the times of the judges when the Lord would raise up for them deliverers. Verse 28, but as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of the enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. Now, again, here we're talking specifically about the time of the judges, but it also applies to the time of the kings and later on as well. But this is more a specific allusion to the time of the judges. So as they're giving this narrative, this is not necessarily just a chronological narrative. It's not a chronological creed. They're giving kind of the high points, again, of who they are and what's happened during the course of Jewish and Israel's history. And again, it is so important for us to remember that we have access to the Bible, so we have no excuse not to read the Bible on a regular basis, not to fill our minds and our hearts with it day in and day out. And that's what I encourage you to do so often here on the 10-week Bible study, is to read these books that we're going through 10 times in those 10 weeks. That's where the name of the Bible study comes from. 10-week Bible study is just because I want to encourage you to read each book that we go through 10 times in the 10 weeks that we study it. It really will transform your life as you get God's word hidden, locked away in your heart. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's word. Thank you.